Can I say good morning to everybody? That's good. I'm glad that you're with me already. That's encouraging. It's so nice to be with you here this Sunday morning. Thank you so much to William and the leadership in the church just for giving me the opportunity to come and to share a little bit with you this morning, not just about what God is doing through CEF around the world or what God is doing through us, but I don't want you to leave here this morning thinking that CEF is a great missionary organization. I don't want you leaving here this morning thinking, wow, look what God's doing, you know, through Philip and Denise's life. I want you this morning thinking that CEF is not really that great, that Philip and Denise are not really that great, but God is great. And if you leave here this morning with an enlarged view of Him and His glory, then it will be well worth my while being here with you this morning. That's the message. That's what I want you to go away here thinking about this morning. This church has been so connected to CEF, and it's so lovely to be in a church this morning that has a real missionary vision and a real missionary heart and a real burden for the children. It was lovely to be in the back this morning praying, hearing men praying for their community and the little booklets that have already gone out, and that's such a thrill. And some of you will be familiar with the work of CEF. Some of you, maybe not so much. And I want to just tell you a few little things about CEF that maybe you're not so familiar with. CEF is not an Irish-based missionary organization. CEF are working around the world. And we praise God at the moment that CEF are working actively, bringing the gospel to boys and girls in over 200 countries around the world. And that's a tremendous thrill, a tremendous privilege to have that opportunity to be able to share the gospel with children in so many countries around the world. Would love you to pray for North Korea. We're not in there for obvious reasons. It's a difficult, difficult place. So I would ask you to pray that God will open the doors very soon so the boys and girls in North Korea might hear the gospel, that they, along with over 22 other million children, might have an opportunity to hear. That's the privilege that we have. That's how many children heard the gospel last year through the ministries of CEF around the world, face-to-face presentations of the gospel. And so we're really thankful to God for all of these opportunities and what God is doing through full-time workers around the world and also trained volunteers who help us to bring the gospel to so many children. But I want us to get our eyes on something really large, and I'm going to show a short video clip that might help us hopefully with that.
Of God is the manifest beauty of His holiness. It's the going public of His holiness. It's the way He puts His holiness on display for people to apprehend. The heavens are telling the glory of God. What does that mean? It means He's shouting at us. He shouts with clouds. He shouts with blue expanse. He shouts with gold on the horizons. He shouts with galaxies and stars. He's shouting, "I am glorious. Open your eyes." Do you see it? Do you love it? You were made for this. I'm made for this. This is why I exist, to see that. Everything is pointing to that. All the glory that I thought was so attractive is going there. This is all husks and ashes. Now we see through a glass darkly, then face to face. I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed to us. So the glory that's coming is of such an all-satisfying, infinitely beautiful, totally need-meeting and joy-producing kind. 80 years of pain will be as nothing. This light, momentary affliction is working for us an eternal weight of what? Glory! Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is full of His glory. God is aiming that we see and savor and treasure His glory, the riches of His glory, So I ask, do you see it? Do you love it? And I'll say again, you were made for this.
You and I were made for something large. We were made to live for God's glory, a grand purpose in our world. That's the story of the Bible, and that's what I want to share with you this morning. This was something that God really began to challenge Denise and me about a number of years ago. We were working with CF in Ireland for many years. But about 4 years ago, God used this verse in Psalm 96, verse 3, to open our hearts to the possibility of being part of declaring God's glory among the nations, His wonderful works among all peoples. God was challenging us and giving us a burden for the nations. God was giving us a vision and a calling to play our part in declaring His glory to the children of the world, the children of the nations. And so 4 years ago, we moved into a new role with CEF, and we became very burdened about the need to be investing and helping in leadership of CEF countries around the world. We'll have the next slide, please. We all know that everything rises and falls with leadership. It's so important in any church congregation, in any business setting, and it's true in CEF. As we think about children around the world who need to hear the gospel, one of the key things is we need to have strong local national leaders leading the work of CEF in these countries around the world. Leadership and learning are indispensable to each other. And so God opened a door of opportunity for Denise and I, next slide, to become involved in leadership and ministry development. And that's a role that we've been engaged in for the past 4 years. And it has been a tremendous thrill and a tremendous privilege to meet different leaders of CEF countries around the world, to be involved with them, to be helping them. And I want to share just something a little bit about that this morning, and I want to introduce some of them to you. What is our vision as we seek to work with leaders, as we seek to develop national ministries around the world? Our vision is this: God's glory declared among the children of all the nations through effective godly leadership and thriving national ministries. If we can invest in leadership around the world, those leaders in turn will lead their workers well. They will put plans in place and they will train their workers, they will train volunteers, and so the work will be multiplied, the work will grow, there will be more children being reached around the world. How do we seek to do that? Well, we seek to do it by doing three things. We seek to train those leaders around the world, and we spend time putting courses together. I'm going to tell you about that in just a few moments. We spend time mentoring those leaders, getting alongside them, spending time with them. Next slide, thank you. Spending time helping them, traveling to be with them, giving them advice, giving them support, giving them guidance, how they can become more effective in the leadership of their country. If leadership falls down in any of our nations around the world, our CEF nations, the work suffers as a result. Problems arise. People problems arise. There are fewer and fewer children being reached. And so we want to put all of our time and energy, the time that God gives us, into working with these leaders, to helping and encouraging them so that they know how to lead an effective ministry in their country. And the last part of what we want to do is we want to challenge them. We want to challenge leaders to think about the unreached children in their countries. We want to challenge them to try and grow their ministry, to try and reach out to more children. And so we can help them by putting plans in place, by coming alongside them, visiting them, and putting plans in place to help them to reach the children of their nation. So those are the three things that we seek to do. Let me tell you about some of the training that we've been involved in just in recent months. Last November, I had the privilege of going to Brazil. One of the ways that we train our leaders, our national leaders, national directors in CEF, is through a National Directors Institute. And that's a two-week intensive training course where we bring leaders together and we seek to train them in practices and principles of CEF, but also for godly leadership. A lot of time we spend teaching and from the Word of God. We want to develop godly leadership in CEF, so we open up the Bible and have the privilege of sharing God's Word with them. And those are tremendous days of encouragement and blessing. Some of the folks here that you can see in the photograph come from Europe. Some of them come from Asia. Some of them come from the Middle East region. If we could just maybe go backwards. Sorry, guys. Some of them come from the Middle East region. Some of them will come from Africa. And we had a tremendous two-week course with 23 different leaders from different parts of the world. And it's a tremendous privilege to be able to invest and to pour into the lives of these leaders. One of the ladies there leads the work in Ecuador, and she said this. She said, "This course is a marvelous experience." And she said this on the last night with tears running down her face. And she said, "I love the children. That's my passion. And to be here at this course reminded me of my calling." Many of these leaders are working in difficult countries around the world. Many of them are lonely. Many of them get discouraged. And so we seek to draw alongside them. We seek to invest in them. We seek to be a blessing to them. And we had a tremendous time here at this course. I want to introduce you. Next slide now, guys. Thank you to a lady. I have to just call her Zed from I. And the reason why is because she is the leader of a work in what we call in CF of a red country. So I'm not allowed to actually mention that country publicly in any kind of meetings anywhere in the world. But you can probably work out if I kind of can tell you the region that she's from. She's from the Middle East region. So it's one of two countries probably if you're trying to work it out in your head. This lady was meant to be at a previous course, but she wasn't able to come. She couldn't get out of the country, but she was able to get her visa. She was able to come to Brazil to be with us for the two-week training course. And I want to just show you some of the impact of what happens through the two-week training course. When this lady comes and gets fed and gets taught and gets effectively trained, she's able to go back to her country in the Middle East and do things like this. This is a church good news club in her country in the Middle East. And we can just keep flicking on the slides. These are Christmas clubs in her country in the Middle East. There are more children being reached in her city in the Middle East than in Great Britain. That's through CF ministry I'm referring to. God's glory being declared among the children of the nations, even in hot spots, even in difficult places like this. Now, you're not going to see this on BBC News. You'll not see it on ITV News. But it's a thrill for me to be able to come and to say, this is what God is doing. God is building his church. Lives are being transformed. Lives are being changed. And what a tremendous privilege it is to be able to invest in her life so that she can go back and develop the ministry in her difficult country, allowing children to hear the gospel. Let me introduce you to another man. Next slide. His name is Francis. Francis works in South Sudan. Some of you will maybe have heard of South Sudan in the news over recent years. Lots of difficulty, lots of trouble, lots of violence. Before he came to the National Directors Institute, he came so discouraged. The rebels were getting close to where he lived, and they were basically forced from their home, and they had to move into a refugee camp with many, many other thousands of people from surrounding villages. And Francis came to the National Directors Institute, and he spoke with me on a number of occasions, and he said, "Philip, whenever I go back, I don't know what to do. I think my time in CF is coming to an end. I can't see any possibilities to bring the gospel to children. It's so difficult now. It's so tough because of the persecution, because of the circumstances that he was in." But he said at the end of the course, "The training has answered many questions and many struggles that I've been going through as a leader. After coming home from the NDI, from National Directors Institute, I felt inspired, motivated, and challenged to serve with greater morale in the ministry." And Francis was able to go back, and we spoke about different possibilities. He was able to go back and train Christians in the refugee camp. The volunteers that he trained in the refugee camp started opening good news clubs and five-day clubs in the refugee camp. They were able to take the children out of the refugee camp for a week-long camp. God working in spite of opposition, in spite of difficult circumstances, God blessing his work among the children of the nations. And today, Francis is going on from strength to strength. He's been able to move back to his home. We're still in regular contact with him, and he's encouraged and going on in the work. National Directors Institute encouraged him to stay in the work. So it's kind of that drawing alongside these leaders, giving them a bit of encouragement and support and direction, and then allowing them to go back to their countries and to see God at work through their lives and through their ministry. So it's about training. It's also about mentoring. And that's what we are seeking to do with some of these leaders. And there's different ways that we are able to do that. Many of our workers around the world are living by faith. Many of them are having to trust God to supply their needs. That's the financial policy of CEF, and I'm no different. So one of the things that we've been able to do is to visit different countries and teach and train workers how to raise support. They can't do ministry without prayerful and financial support. So we're able to go alongside them and give them a biblical basis how to do that. And the first picture that you see on the top left of the screen was a course that I was involved in down in the Philippines. These photographs are actually all in the Philippines. The middle one, another way that we get to mentor is by drawing alongside workers and national directors and Bible teaching. And that's a tremendous thrill for me to be able to go. The greatest encouragement that we can bring to these leaders is by teaching them the Word of God. And it's a tremendous thrill to be able to open the Bible, to be able to teach the Word of God and to see God at work through His Word in the lives of these leaders and workers. The last photograph that you see down at the bottom, the lady there in the middle with her young children is a lady called Eileen. Eileen is in the process of becoming the leader of the work of CEF in the Philippines. It's a huge work. It's a huge country, over 7,200 islands in the Philippines. It's a huge CEF ministry. They reach over 2 million children every year with the gospel. They've had quite a few problems in the work over recent years because of leadership problems. Would love you to pray for Eileen. Part of my role at the minute is actually working alongside Eileen, speaking with her on a weekly basis, just checking in with her, seeing how she's doing, what she's up to, but I'll be working alongside the national board trying to make sure that we have a smooth transition for Eileen to become the new leader of the work in the Philippines, God willing, this June. So pray for us as we work together to put a strong leadership team in place that can give guidance and help. There are over 100 workers there in the country. Many of them are discouraged. Many of them are frustrated at the moment because there's no leadership. Pray for Eileen as she begins to step into that role, that she will be a blessing and an encouragement to over 100 workers in her country. If she can be a blessing and a help to those workers are training thousands of volunteers and they're doing good news clubs, five-day clubs. The schools are wide open. They actually have been told by the government that they're allowed to go into any school. And I've been in those schools, maybe 7 schools every day. They're tremendously hardworking workers, and it's a real thrill to see children coming to know Christ in the Philippines. The last thing that we're involved in is challenging. Challenging workers, challenging national leaders to think about how they can reach more children in their country. I'll talk to you about two countries. City Kids is a new ministry initiative that we've launched a couple of years ago in CEF. Many of the world's children are living in the cities. Globalization, you see that on television, many families moving to the cities looking for employment. So we're trying to focus a lot of our time and our efforts on the children in the big cities. This is especially thinking of Europe in our own continent, our own region of Europe. Two of the countries that we've been working alongside, you'll know the one on the right-hand side. It's not a political statement, a promise. I'm going to tell you some encouraging things about that country in just a few moments. Can anybody tell me the flag on the left? I don't have any prizes. I should have had a prize with me for this. I might have encouraged a few guesses. Norwegian Lapland. Norwegian Lapland. There's a missionary from Ireland that has been working up in Lapland for almost 40 years. She's from here, actually, from Northern Ireland. And we had the privilege of going to her just a couple of years ago. And we spoke to her about the possibility of City Kids. So she went to a small town, a town called Alta. And we had a Christmas across Alta. Now, when I say small town, how many churches did you say, William, were meeting here in the village? 4? She had 3. There aren't too many evangelical churches in Lapland. But she was able to go to one of the bigger cities as far as Lapland is concerned in Alta. And she was able to work alongside 3 evangelical churches. And we trained the committee. We trained her. We challenged her to think about these Christmas clubs. They really took it on board big time. And what a joy in every single church that she had a Christmas club in. There were at least 30 children came. Now, to put that in context, the churches who are ministering there in Alta normally don't have more than 5 children coming to their church. So it's difficult and it's hard. So the churches and the pastors in the churches were tremendously encouraged. Not only did they have 25 to 30 children coming to each of the clubs, they had the same amount of parents also coming into church, many of them coming in for the first time. and hearing the true story of Christmas for the first time. Those are encouraging stories, aren't they? But I'll tell you the even more encouraging story. The best part of the story is that there were children in each of those clubs who trusted the Lord for salvation. That's the greatest encouragement of all. Here's a lady who has faithfully been sowing the seed of the gospel in Lapland for over 30 years, and year after year after year, she constantly would say, pray that God will show me fruit. Pray that God would allow me to see fruit. Pray that I'll see children coming to know the Lord. And for year after year after year, she didn't see any fruit until these Christmas clubs started. And God chose to work in the hearts and the lives of these children, drew some of them to himself for salvation. The churches are tremendously encouraged. They're following up the children. They're continuing to reach the children. That's part of what we do, challenging others, challenging churches also to think about reaching out. Not every church is like your church. Not every church in Northern Ireland has a missionary vision. Not every church around the world is thinking about unreached people, children, adults, young people, outside in their communities. And so part of our role is to challenge these people, challenge churches to think about the children who are not coming into church. The unreached, the unchurched children, especially children, as was prayed already this morning, children who maybe are still waiting to hear about Jesus for the first time. Think about that. For the first time. Does that bother you? Does that burden you? That there are children in our country, that there are children across Europe, there are children in Great Britain who have never heard about Jesus once. Most likely they'll have heard tell everything to do with coronavirus, but they're still waiting to hear about Jesus. They're still waiting to hear a clear presentation of the gospel. And so we've been able to visit churches in Great Britain. We've been able to spend time training them. Denise and I go over quite regularly, meet with churches who want trained. We're able to meet with the pastor, key volunteers in the church, and they in turn have started to go out and do Christmas clubs for the first time. Sometimes we go over and help the churches to get the clubs started, to train them so that they can continue them whenever we're not able to be there. And that has been a tremendous thrill. Places like Bournemouth, where Denise was just over a year ago, with a Mauritian church, believe it or not, down in Bournemouth, and they went out and started to do Christmas clubs in Bournemouth more recently. We've also been in Reading. They are planning to go out this Christmas time, God willing, at the end of this year, to start reaching children in the Christmas clubs. So challenging others to be engaged in ministry, that's part of what we do, and we're tremendously encouraged and blessed to be able to do that. We also are involved in ministry ourselves here at home. Denise and I go into schools regularly with three or four school assemblies that we're in. We've been speaking at SU weekends. Denise has a junior BB Bible class that she teaches in every week. So we're still hands-on reaching children, even in our own town. We come from Portadown, and so we try to be involved as much as we possibly can in bringing the gospel to as many children as we can. Let's have a look at the next slide. I want to remind you, as we come to God's word in just a few moments, that you were made for something large. You can be part of also declaring God's glory among the nations, his marvelous works among all the peoples. And as we seek to do that, one of the ways that you can be involved is by partnering with us. Thank you, guys. One of the ways that you can do that is by praying for us. Denise and I would desperately love to have more people specifically praying for what we're doing around the world. If you want to be part of that, then you can ask me at the door for a little pack. Inside the pack, there's little cards you can fill in either today and give those to me. We would love to add you to our prayer letter list so we can send you quarterly updates about what God is doing in us and through us, and also through our ministry as we seek to help develop leaders and ministry around the world. Please ask me for that. One of the other things that I would love you to pray for is for our financial support. We are way, way short of where we need, and that has been a big, big heartache and a big challenge. I was thinking coming up the road this morning, how honest do I be? How open should I be? It's not easy to talk about it, but it's hard and it's difficult. And we would love you to pray. Pray that God will continue to meet our needs. As I said earlier on, we're living by faith just the same as all the other CF workers around the world. But if God's challenging you about being part of declaring God's glory among the nations, and you can either pray for us or stand with us financially on a monthly basis, pray about that and ask us for one of these packs. Ask me for one of these at the door and you can take that. I'm not handing them out just to everybody at the door. It's only if you feel really that God is really stirring your heart, that God's giving you a burden and an excitement about being part of declaring his glory among the nations as you help to stand with us in our ministry. And we would be so grateful for that if God touched your heart and encouraged and challenged you to become part of our team. If you have a Bible, I want you to go to 2 Timothy 4:17. I just want to share some very short thoughts from this verse. 2 Timothy 4:17. As we think about what God is doing around the world, about God drawing the nations to himself. Now, the nations is not flags and countries and borders the way you and I think about it. The nations are the unreached people groups, all the different language groups of the world. And that's the story of 2020. That's the story of our world. Whether we see that, whether we don't, that is happening day after day after day. God is building his church in the world, and we get to be part of that. And what a privilege that is for each of us. We see that in Psalm 22, verses 27 to 28. We see it in Psalm 67, verse 3. Here we've looked at Psalm 96, verse 3, which is a command that God gives us to declare his glory among the nations. That's a command that God gives us in Psalm 96. If you think about Romans chapter 15, let me just read that to you very quickly. Romans chapter 15, verse 20. Paul, the Apostle Paul gave his life for this very purpose. And thus I make it my ambition to preach the gospel, not where Christ has already been named, lest I build on someone else's foundation. Paul's yearning, Paul's reason for getting out of bed every morning was gospel proclamation. It was spreading the gospel. That's what excited him. That's what enthused him. He was living large. He was living for God's glory. And as we see here in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 17, as he comes towards the end of his life, you and I know that it was not always easy for Paul. Paul encountered many hardships. He encountered many obstacles. He encountered much opposition. And here he's experiencing that again. He says in verse 16, at my first defense, no one came to stand by me, but all deserted me, might not be charged against them. But the Lord stood by me and strengthened me so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it. So I was rescued from the lion's mouth. Here at the end of Paul's life, he has some tremendous advice, tremendous encouragement for us as we think about our work, our ministry of declaring the gospel, your ongoing gospel ministry. You don't need me to tell you that it's difficult in our world too. It's difficult in our part of the world. I have shared with you some stories about people this morning who are facing persecution, facing prison, facing death in certain parts of the world because they're bringing the gospel to children. But you and I face the same difficulties here. Maybe not death, but in years and to come, it's going to become more and more difficult in Western Europe to bring the gospel to children especially. Some of you mentioned this morning, even in the prayer time, about going around the doors in your own village, and sometimes people don't even answer the door. There's such a lethargy, there's an apathy, there's a complete indifference, and sometimes even a hostility, even in our own towns and villages in Northern Ireland, towards the things of God and the gospel. I want to bring you encouragement here that Paul brought here at the end of 2 Timothy. Four words I want to leave with you very, very quickly. The first thing is this: but the Lord stood by me. You and I have the promise of God's presence. As you and I continue to share the gospel, as you and I continue to bring the gospel, in spite of conflict, in spite of opposition, in spite of difficulty, the Lord will stand with you. Every missionary that has ever gone to any part of the world, this will be their testimony. The Lord stood by me. Because we have the promise of the Lord's presence with us. And every missionary who ever does leave to go to another part of the world, and maybe some of you even here this morning are thinking, God, are you willing to send me? Are you going to send me? Maybe some young people, young adults here this morning, and you're thinking, I want to live for something large. I want to think of of purposes that are bigger than just my life. I want to spend the rest of my life declaring God's glory among the nations and playing my part in what God is doing in the world today. Can I encourage you? Will it be difficult? Yes. Will it be lonely? Yes. Will there be persecution? Yes. Will there be opposition? Yes. But you go with this promise that the Lord will stand by you. The Lord will stand with you. You have the promise of God's presence. You also have the promise of God's power. The Lord stood by me and strengthened me. What a brilliant promise for individuals as we engage in gospel work, as we engage in evangelism, as a church, individually with our neighbors. Not only do we have God's presence with us, but we have God's power in us, enabling to do all that God is calling us to do. The Lord stood by me and strengthened me. You will have that same power, that same strength at work in your life as you share Christ, as you share the gospel with your friends, with your neighbors, with children, with young people, with adults, maybe in some other part of the world if God sends you there. You have God's presence and you have God's power. In other words, you and I have everything that we need to do all that God is asking us to do in spite of the opposition. This is no time as a church or as individuals to be hunkering down saying, woe is me, life's getting hard, let's quit, let's water down the gospel, let's just live for a life of comfort and ease. And that's what's happening in parts of the world. Churches are finding it difficult in CEF ministry, they're finding it difficult, and there's a temptation to water it down, there's a temptation to get away from the gospel so that we avoid the opposition, so that we avoid confrontation. No. That's not what Paul would be saying to us. It's not what God would be saying to us. God would say, you've got my presence, you've got my power, so keep doing it. You've got everything that you need for what I'm asking you to do. We've got God's presence, we have God's power. Why do we have that? We have it for proclamation. The Lord stood by me and strengthened me. Listen to this. Why? So that through me the message might be what? Fully proclaimed. Can I encourage you as a congregation, can I encourage you as individuals, continue your ministry of gospel proclamation? Why do I say that? Because the big trend today is to get away from this, because it's hard, because it's becoming more difficult. The big trend today is to go towards gospel demonstration. Now, I'm not saying that that's wrong, but I'm saying here that Paul's saying so that through him the message might be fully proclaimed. In other words, we can't do evangelism without gospel proclamation. We can show Christ's love, we can demonstrate Christ's love, but we can't do evangelism without the proclamation of the gospel. Here's the blessing. Here's the encouragement. Paul says, I have God's presence, I have God's power. For what? For gospel proclamation. Can I encourage you? Keep doing what you're doing. What a blessing for me this morning to hear about all the aspects of your ministry here in Brookside. Please continue to do it. Double your efforts. Do all that you can, knowing that you've got God's presence and God's power so that you might be able to continue proclaiming the gospel and the purpose so that all the Gentiles might hear it. And here's the thing. We have God's presence. We have God's power to continue proclaiming the gospel. To who? So that all the Gentiles might hear it. Your work and my work is never done until every person has heard it. So we continue to think about the unreached. We continue to think about children who have never heard. That was Paul's passion. That was Paul's life. Bringing the gospel to people who had never heard it once. You can be part of that. You can be involved in that here in your own congregation. You can also be involved with it by even partnering with us in what we're doing and bringing that gospel and helping others to bring the gospel to other parts of the world. What a purpose to live for. Can I let you in on a secret? It's not really a secret. This story about bringing God's glory and declaring God's glory among the nations and how God is gathering people to himself. You and I know how this story is going to end. This is the story of the Bible. God's inviting you and I to become part of it if we're not already part of it. And I want to finish just by reading one verse to you in Revelation chapter 5, verse 9. And they sang a new song saying, "Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and by your blood you ransomed people for God." Listen, from every tribe and language and people and nation. That's how it's going to end. So we don't lose heart and we don't lose hope. This is not a time for retreat. This is not a time for shrinking back. This is a time to go forward with the gospel, because we know how it's going to end. You were made for something large. May God help you to play your part in what he's doing in his world. Let's finish our service by singing a lovely piece entitled "Filled with Compassion." Thank you very much. To him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only God, our Saviour, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion and authority before all time and now and forever. Amen.